Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Hockey Hot Dish, a Minnesota Wild podcast brought to you by the folks at Hockey Wilderness at SB Nation. I am Matthew Smith, and you can find me on Twitter at From Tape to Tape, and I am here with the wonderful...
I'm Grace, Grace Shrimp. You can find me on Twitter at GRH Shrimp. That's Great Shrimp. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. So we are currently recording following the Wild's 3-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens. The rare win, it feels like. It's very early season, but I feel like we were all pretty down on it to begin with.
Yeah, the first win that I didn't like feel like sad about at the end.
Yeah, it would have been nice if it was not as close, because it still felt...
Yeah, against it was the Montreal Canadiens.
It was comfortable for, like, probably 50 minutes, but then the last 10 minutes, I was like, oh, I'm feeling good, and then I remembered the score, and I was like, I'm not feeling good anymore.
Yeah, well, based on, like, the season so far, their ability to hold leads, I didn't feel confident about that.
Yeah, and there was probably a couple things to feel confident about. Like, Fleury's performance tonight was very good.
Yeah, I think it's his best game of the season.
Yeah, he was also good in his last start as well. I mean, they lost the game, but he was very good tonight. And he seemed to be vibing. If you saw him between the whistles.
That little grin that he had out of that penalty shot was just so charming.
Yeah, the grin, there was some shimmies, he was feeling it tonight, it seemed like. So it was really, really, really good to see that. He definitely, I think we called him the start of the game. I called him the start of the game at the end of it. Do you feel the same way? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, especially when it's a pretty low scoring game, you owe that in large part to a good goaltender.
Yeah, so I mean, that's encouraging. The beginning of the season, the first two games were especially rough for him, but managing to bounce back tonight and stop 26 out of 27, so that's very good. The penalty shot was impressive, I suppose. It was a terrible attempt by Mike Hoffman.
right.
So maybe we don't need to give Fleury too much credit, but that's a tough situation. Yeah, it's tough.
That's a little pressure.
Yeah. I also wanted to talk about maybe Kalen Addison, who looked, again, like growing more comfortable in his role. He was responsible for... a good portion of the power play, like keeping it moving, that sort of thing, and a bunch of point shots that seemed to sort of generate some chaos and some chances down low. He didn't really cash in on anything, but yeah, he looked great again tonight.
Yeah, and I liked him with Brodin. I don't even know if I want to get into that discourse in particular, but I mean, I think he's earned that promotion and seemed confident in having top 4 minutes, you know, like,
I don't think we don't need to, no one lost that position. Kalen Addison has performed extremely well.
He's earned it. I mean, I think that's a better perspective.
Yeah. And if, the other thing is that going into this game, like the pairing of Matt Dumba and Brodin were both bad.
Well,
it was
both Brodine's been struggling too.
Brodine has been probably more alarmingly bad. The ceiling is so high with him that does he?
Yeah, I mean, Dumba's historically streaky. I really, really like Dumba, but he has his moments. Brodine doesn't have his moments. So seeing Brodine struggle is scary.
Yeah, Brodine's at his best when you don't notice him. Right. So, and I feel like we've noticed him a lot in the first few games. So it's, tonight that pairing seemed to be functioning pretty well. So it was another bright spot. We can sort of play the same hits over and over again. Matt Boldy was, again, awesome. Yeah. He was, really aggressive on the power play.
I think Foligno was better tonight and was great with Rossi and Boldy.
Yeah, so, there was a bunch of lineup changes going into tonight. There was a lot of line shuffling, especially, mm-hmm. Splitting up Joel Eriksson-Ekt and Marcus Foligno. That was sort of the big one. How did you feel that those line changes played out? I mean, beyond just the fact that they won.
Yeah, no, I think it went really well. And it's kind of hard to... it's sort of chicken or the egg sort of conversation, whether they were... if these lines were better, you know, or if the Wild have just sort of gotten their heads out of their asses to some degree and played better tonight. But I thought Foligno was great on the line with Rossi and Boldy. I mean, obviously, Duhaime and Eriksson-Ekt were the only, you know, they scored. So clearly there is some, those lines worked. I have a little bit of trouble with Gaudreau as a first line center. I get why Dean loves him. It's really frustrating to see someone up with Zouk and Kirill, who isn't shooting pucks and making goals at any point, yeah. Who can't finish. That's frustrating.
Yeah, I will say that, statistically, the line with Joel Eriksson-Ekt, Ryan Hartman, and Brandon Duhaime was horrific. They were terrible. Yeah. So they had, five shot attempts five shot attempts for and 21 against.
Yikes!
And that is very bad. They were bad by a wide margin. And that, I mean, really plays into what you're talking about with Gaudreau is, I don't think that there's anything in Gaudreau's game that we haven't already seen. It doesn't feel like there's anything else to squeeze out of Gaudreau than we got last year. And I don't know if you're ever going to get last year out of him again. So to put him between Kaprizov and Zuccarello, especially when, his game, clearly doesn't mesh with their game at all.
Right.
That's frustrating. I would rather have seen Marco Rossi up there, and I would have mm-hmm. rather even seen Sam Steele up there before I saw Gaudreau. And, Eriksson-Ekt realistically is the one that should go there. And after the performance from that line, his line, I don't know if that'll stick together. And also splitting up Eriksson-Ekt and Foligno, I get it, but it really felt like it was the wingers were the problem, the other winger on the problem, not those two.
Yeah. I don't think it was the pairing of Foligno and Eriksson-Ekt that was atrocious last game.
No, you're giving them Tyson Jost, who is going to be a problem in that role, in that, shut down defensive, put them out there and they'll be good kind of line. And then same with Brandon Duhaime. I don't know if he really is that level of player. So, I really just want to see Ryan Hartman with them until Greenway is back for good. So
have we at any point seen specifically Ryan Hartman, Eriksson-Ekt and Foligno this season?
I don't remember seeing them for an extended period of time.
I don't either.
But yeah, his game just seems like it would mesh the best out of all the other combos that they've sort of tried. The line shifting around, it was nice with Matt Boldy, the Marco Rossi, Marcus Foligno. I like that. Mostly, again, because of Marco Rossi and Matt Boldy together. But Foligno was fantastic tonight on the penalty kill, especially. He, in the first period, I think almost single-handedly killed the penalty by himself, which was good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's sort of him at the top of his form, so.
I kind of wonder if, I mean, this is kind of getting inside the heads of players who we can't, I mean, it's kind of goofy speculation, but I wonder if there's some degree to which, like, asking him to be on the line with these two rookies is kind of putting him back in, like, leader Foligno mode, where, you know, like, responsibly helping these guys out rather than, you know, trying for, I mean, like, not that he's not a skilled player, but his job tonight was to support Rossi and Boldy to an extent.
Yeah. I mean, just looking into it, Ryan Hartman's hasn't spent more than 15 minutes with anybody other than Zuccarello and Kaprizov this season. So
okay, well,
we haven't seen anybody in an extended period of time with him. But yeah, Foligno, and that seems like a shame. Like, I understand his leadership value, but I also feel like we got so much out of him last year that it was like it was something extra. That you rarely get out of somebody who's so good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a shame to split him up. And I guess all of this is really just on hold for Greenway to come back. So.
Yeah, I it's sort of funny. Maybe funny is not the right word. But, like, I was part of some conversations last year, you know, talking about the grief line in general, especially when Greenway got his extension, about, like, why keep Greenway? Is he really the part of that line that holds it together? Like, isn't it really Foligno and Eriksson Ek that do the work? But, I mean, clearly his absence is felt in a very, very, very big way.
Yeah, and I also think, like, he grew a lot in that role last year. Like, he had mm-hmm. his own ups and downs on that line last year, where it was, like, at the beginning, or the sort of the middle doldrums where the Wild were really struggling, it was that line was really struggling. A lot of it was pinned on Greenway, but near the end of the year, like, when Greenway was going, like, Greenway sometimes looks like the best player on that line.
Yeah.
And he's not super young as, like, a prospect kind of a thing, but he definitely has still a little bit more room to grow with that combination. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that he is really important to that line. I think he sort of sets everybody into the roles, and they're very reliant on each other to do certain things for each other. So they're, as a unit, I know no one player on that unit is the most important. As much as we all like to like pump up Joel Eriksson Ek, he's extremely good. But we've seen him with Zuccarello and Kaprizov where he hasn't looked as good. So,
yeah.
We need to create space where Jordan Greenway can be considered good.
That's good, too.
Was there anything else from tonight that stood out from you? Like, the power play was still fantastic, even though it didn't tally as much as we would want it to.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know if I have anything else specifically to grab about tonight's game. I mean, hopefully this is the sign of things to come. In general, the defense didn't make me want to die, so.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's
the
big takeaway.
Yeah.
I just want to also bring up, I was forced to watch the Canadian broadcast for this.
And
The Montreal broadcast was, like, constantly talking about how the Minnesota Wild are in, like, a tailspin and, like, everything is going horribly wrong for the Minnesota Wild. And I'm like, okay, it's not that bad. Like, it's not going great, but, like, they've also technically taken, like, 3 of the last 4 possible points. Like, things were already on the up and up.
Right. Yeah, it was 2 really bad games, and then, like, every game has gotten progressively more okay.
Yeah. It was 2 really bad games to start the season. Yeah, it's not like it was not the end of the world. It's fine that the Minnesota Wild fans feel like that, because I feel like we, like, as a group, it's very up and down. They're very aggressive in their takes.
Yeah, yeah.
All,
well,
Minnesota,
I mean,
Wild fans.
Drama's fun, but I don't want other people to, like, participate in this.
Yeah, don't
And, you know, just yelling, like, fold the franchise or, like, tank for Bedard is hilarious, but, like, realistically, it's 5 games. This is such a long season, and I'd rather them be shitty right now and, like, figure it out, and then, like, be playing really hard in April. I, you know, you don't want them sort of to I kind of want, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, you don't want them to be a wild card spot. You want them to have been good. But, like, having them be in compete mode near the playoffs isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of young players on this team, and they're still finding their feet. And,
yep.
Like, if Kalen Addison, for example, like, continues his trajectory, at the end of the year, he'll probably be in the top four or probably considered one of their top two or three defensemen, and he was basically not on the team last year. So there, right. There are some big changes going through. It's just taking some time for them to find their feet, and that's not weird, really. Right. It's not weird, it's wild.
Great.
And actually, on that note, we're just going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Excellent.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Hockey Hot Dish. We were just talking about the Minnesota Wild's 3-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens. But what we'd like to talk about next is we just put up a roundtable discussion on HockeyWilderness.com about who the most surprising Wild player has been so far this season. I think we were... privately, I think we were all expecting us to be very in line with each other, but there were a few curveballs. I think everybody was expecting to say Boldy.
I know, everyone was expecting to say everyone else to say Boldy, so they're all like, I'm going to say something different. Yeah, and so then no one said Boldy.
Yeah, everyone had to have their hipster choice. They were like, they're like, let's go. I said Kalen Addison, and I do actually want to talk about the Boldy thing at first, because it sounded like as we were all kind of discussing our opinions, that most of the reason why a lot of us didn't choose Boldy is because we kind of expected this out of Boldy.
Yeah. I interrupted you.
No, that's how you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, the question around Boldy was like barely a question. It was... you know, will he have a sophomore slump of some sort? And will he suffer from not having Fiala to play with? And, I mean, that's just, both of those are just, like, yes or no questions, and kind of imply that there's a possibility that he won't have, I mean, that the answers will be no to both questions, in which case he will be great, and he was. Is.
Yeah. Last year, everything about him, it was like, he forced their hand in Iowa, where he was like crushing AHL competition. So they kind of they didn't want to bring him up. Like, it was pretty clear they didn't want to bring him up. But then injuries and his own performance kind of forced their hand. And then the second he came up, he like excelled. So then it's like, of course he'll excel still. Like, yeah. Given a better opportunity, of course he's going to excel. He's never not done that.
Right.
And he was always like good defensively, so he was never going to get punished by like coaching decisions, that sort of thing. So I wasn't surprised.
I think how good he is defensively is sort of, you know, he doesn't have any of the like wart. I mean, like, Kevin Fiala is incredible. He doesn't have some of Kevin Fiala's warts. You know, there are times when you're really, that Kevin really pushes. And we haven't seen that level of frustration from Boldy at any point.
No, he's a very different, he's also very, like, consistent and very, mm-hmm. like, even keel. He is a, like, coach's, like, dream rookie, essentially.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why for a lot of us, he wasn't the most surprising. But I think you were the only one who had suggested Matt Zuccarello as the most surprising. Is there a specific reason why you went with Zuccarello besides the point total, I suppose?
Right. Well, I mean, so he's right now the leading point scorer on the Wild. And there's, I mean, it's not really surprising that he has a lot of points. I think we kind of all expected like the assist column to really like rack up because he plays with Kirill Kaprizov and he was incredible with Kirill Kaprizov last year. He's still really good with Kirill Kaprizov, but he's scoring goals. Like he's shooting the puck and into the net and scoring, which that is a really nice change. You know, I think his instinct to play make is still there, but he's also scoring goals. And that is, I think, a difference in his game a little bit.
Yeah. So actually tonight was the first time he hasn't gotten a point.
Right.
So way to go, Grace. You've ruined him.
I did. Sorry.
Yeah.
He doesn't score again.
Yeah. He's never felt like a passenger on, he's never felt like a passenger with, Kaprizov. And he's got the goals that he hasn't had a high goal total in a long time.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, last year, 24 goals was the first time he had hit 20, since 2015. Like goal scoring has never been his forte, but to have 4 goals in 6 games and, what is he up? Yeah, he's 10 points in 6 games. That's including mm-hmm. tonight. Yeah, it's very impressive. It's extremely impressive, and it would be wonderful if he could have a center on that line too. Maybe he could use his numbers.
Can you imagine?
Crazy that would be to play with a player of your same talent level, and it is probably also a little bit like Kaprizov continuing to like grow and mature in his role too, right?
Sure. Yeah, that is probably part of it. He is also passing to Zouk to allow him to score as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sort of the same problem that, or the same concerns that we have with Fleury. Like he's 35, which is getting up there.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a shock to see like a cliff at some point, but not so far this year, at least. So I think I agree with you. Like it is very surprising to see him with the sort of production that he's had, especially with the like the stink around this team, apparently around the league. Apparently everyone's concerned about the Minnesota Wild. Oh, when are they going to start selling? Yeah,
sell Zuccarello. This is all part of me trying to like get them to sell Zuccarello at the deadline for a first round pick.
I honestly, so after I don't know if you saw the story in The Athletic like about Zuccarello talking about Kaprizov and like his relationship with him.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about how Kaprizov like calls him every night if they don't spend time together to like say goodnight to his daughter and read him a bedtime story. Yes. No. If they traded Zuccarello at any point, they're just gonna break poor Kirill's heart and I
Oh, that's his father.
Yeah, it's been really good to see them. Tonight it felt like they were getting more under their feet and sort of bouncing back, and it'll probably only improve from here.
Yeah.
And Zuccarello's been a big part of that. They've at least been able to squeeze out some points with the first line producing the way that it has with Kirill and with Matt Boldy and Kalen Az. And the bright spots have really papered over some of the problems, even though they still don't have a winning record. it can only go up from here, especially.
Right, they're gonna win Fleury. The rest of the games.
It does also. Fleury is also the ultimate vibes goalie, so if he's having a good time, it seems like he plays well. So
yeah, that is absolutely true.
And after tonight, it seems like we're on the right path. Okay, well, we will wrap it up there. It's been a long night, so thank you all for joining us, and thank you, Grace, for joining me. I have been Matt from Hockey Wilderness, and that's been Grace, also from Hockey Wilderness. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.